Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23 and make sure you have the outline in your bulletin there. Now, if you need to use the Pew Bible, you can find that on page 392 and look at the outline carefully so that you can follow through. Now, put the outline for the verses 4 through 6 and we're dealing with just verse 6 today. But if you'll remember, we broke this up into four areas that we've been in all month. First three verses we referred to as in the pasture, the adequacy, the fact that God is adequate for all of us. The Lord is my shepherd. And then in verse 4, we saw in the valley, serenity. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And keep in mind that he's just referring to a deep darkness. This is not just a psalm for funerals, okay? Sometimes we go through deep, dark experiences in life. Sometimes they're unexpected. Usually they are, right? And so he's reminding us here that the Lord is our shepherd, even in adversity and circumstances, and we can have serenity during that time because we don't have to fear any evil. For you are with me. You are with me. He's promised us that today. Hebrews reminds us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Then in verse 5, we saw in the fold, certainty. You prepare a table before me, and keep in mind that's not a table in the sense that we think of a table today, but it's just a flat area because as the shepherd was leading the sheep to a place to pasture, he would sometimes find just a flat pasture. And then he would, it's sort of the idea of laying before the table reminding us in the presence of mine enemies, the fact that there are many enemies in that pasture that would attack the sheep. There would be thieves, there would be snakes, there would be poisonous plants. So in the fold, my cup runs over. Then we see in verse 6, in the Father's house. Some people think he's referring that this is referring to the temple, the Old Testament temple there, but that wouldn't be the case because not everybody could go to the temple, and the temple wasn't anything that would last forever. And so he reminds us there in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he's talking about heaven there, so keep that in mind. Now you see the outline that we walked through, the seven truths that the believer may appropriate: divine companionship, divine comfort, divine supply, divine protection, divine provision. And then today we're going to look at the divine pursuit. Now you'll notice the central idea today: our shepherd died for his sheep. And we will meet our shepherd in heaven. The shepherd died for his sheep. And someday we will spend eternity with him. And just a simple question: is Jesus your shepherd? And not is he your friend. Is he the one you go to bail out when you're in trouble? Is he truly the one? You see, the shepherd would just march out and the sheep would follow him because they knew his voice. If you haven't read John 10, 1 through 18 in reference to this, boy, that's a great, and it just reminds us there that as our shepherd, he hears our voice, he knows us. The omnipresence of God, everyone is always in the immediate presence of God. You say, well, I don't see how that could happen. No, you don't have to see how that could happen. He's God, and we're not. And so we see the great trust here. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I like what one commentator wrote about this, John Phillips. If you're not familiar with John Phillips, he's with the Lord now, but a very gifted commentator, taught at Moody Bible for years, has authored numerous books, but pertaining to this verse 6, he said this in his commentary, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And then he said, we are given two glimpses of what lies ahead. We are given a glimpse of the King's highway because we're on a journey. Hard on our heels come God's two great ambassadors, goodness and mercy. Goodness takes care of my steps. Mercy takes care of my stumbles. Isn't that a good application? Goodness takes care of my steps. Mercy comes from a word, and those two words there, there's a word called loving kindness, which is a predominant word in the Old Testament. Goodness takes care of my steps. Mercy takes care of my stumbles. Then he quoted C.H. Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon urged to call goodness and mercy God's footmen. In his day, when a wealthy man traveled, two footmen took their place behind him on his coach. Their task was to smooth the way for him. Where he went, they went, always there. When his coach stopped, they jumped down to open the door for him. They would hurry into the inn to make sure his room was ready and his supper served. God's two footmen, Spurgeon said, are goodness and mercy. And they follow us just like those footmen to smooth our journey home. Then we have a glimpse of the King's home. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There it is. A happy eternity. For remember when we first started this series, I quoted from this, and because John Phillips, he said, I like the outline given in my mother's Bible, and the last of that outline was God's eternity, a happy eternity. And this verse reminds us of that. And everything comes to sort of fruition here, because one day when you look back at your life, and you see that it was only goodness and mercy, and that includes the valley experiences. If life is difficult today, just keep following the shepherd. That's what he's trying to teach us here. He will never lead you where he cannot care for you. And you'll notice this psalm begins with the Lord, and it ends with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope you can say that in your heart today. And then I hope you can end on the fact that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. People who struggle with eternal security, I just always like to ask them, well, what does the word eternal mean? In the New Testament, over and over, it says everlasting life, everlasting life. What is everlasting life? Jesus didn't say that you must be born again and again and again. He said you must be born again. Just like you were born physically out of your mother's womb, you must be born again spiritually. So we see these great truths just reminding us of all that God has for us here. Now, I've just given you two simple areas to follow here. Just first of all, divine pursuit. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And you think of the application there, that Hebrew emphasis on follow me means to pursue me vigorously. God pursues us vigorously. We sometimes use the phrase, I found the Lord, I came to the Lord. No, He found you. He was wooing you to Him long before you invited Him into your life. And so we see this divine pursuit. Vigorously, He pursues me. Now, even as a believer, you step out of the will of God, you step out of God's leadership in your life, the way of God, you step out of His work, He's pursuing you. Someone said about the Apostle Paul, the hunter was hunted until he came to the Lord. And that's a great, great application. Then you see, secondly, divine promise. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That literally means for length of days. I will dwell in the house of the Lord for length of days. That's my eternal home. That's what I'm looking forward to. Now let me just share some thoughts with you that'll help us to understand what he's talking about here. As the shepherd lay each night at the door of the sheepfold, he looked back over the day and he gave thanks to the Lord who had blessed them with goodness and mercy. And one commentator said, I see David maybe as an old man looking back over his life, and he came to the same conclusion. Don't know how David was old, but I think I with that phrase, old man. But regardless of our age, I think all of us can look back and agree, even in the most challenging times, God was good and He has been merciful. And I'm so thankful that He pursued me. In spite of David's sins, you think of David, in spite of his sins and in spite of his failures. And we realize he was not a perfect man. He had weaknesses, he had failures, but he had been followed by goodness and mercy, which is the Old Testament equivalent of Romans 8:28. Just reminding us in that portion in Romans that God is so good to all of us. Now the word surely means only. As David looked ahead, he knew he would be in heaven, the Father's house forever. So he knew that was his home. Now this isn't a reference, as I said earlier, to the temple, because the king didn't live in the temple and nobody could live there or anywhere forever. So Jesus uses this vocabulary to speak about heaven. If you're not familiar with John 14, you should be familiar. Don't you love John 14? The first few verses. And boy, what a portion of scripture that is so applicable to all of us at any stage of our life. Let not your heart be troubled, he said. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you can believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. You believe in God, then believe in me, because the Father and I are one. But boy, that verses 2 and 3, goodness. In my Father's house are many mansions. That word house means rooms or abode. I remember singing years ago, I have a mansion, what is that mansion over the hilltop? Anybody remember that little? Well, we're not looking for a mansion. We just know that he has a place in his heaven for us. Because he goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you too. I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, he said, there you may be also. Isn't that not a New Testament reminder of what he said in Psalm 23? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, I go to prepare a place. And one of the things that Jesus is doing today, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's there to make intercession for me, but he's also preparing a place for me. Isn't that a great promise? And so you can see how the promise is claimed there. We see that he's pursued us and he still pursues us. And then we see his great promise that he has a place for us. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Don't be too hard on Thomas. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know. Thomas was not a doubter as much as he was inquisitive. And that's a good thing. It's good. God knows your heart. It's okay to ask God questions. And you remember Thomas said to him, we don't know where you go, and we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And of course, in the rest of chapter 14, if you're not familiar with John 14, get familiar with it, because the rest of that chapter, he's going to tell them that I have to go away, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live within you. I have to leave before he can come. Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends to heaven. The Holy Spirit in chapter 2 descends from heaven. And from that point on, he dwells every believer. Now, if you're saved today, the Holy Spirit lives within you. That's why sometimes you feel convicted because he's whispering in your ear. That's how you know you're truly saved. If you can sin over and over and over, as 1 John tells us, if you can practice sin over and over and it doesn't bother you, then perhaps you don't know the shepherd, because the Holy Spirit's going to convict you. And we've all experienced that if we truly know the Lord. It's a great chapter there. He teaches us about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and he indwells us as believers. But verse 6 is such a tremendous verse. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the path to heaven. It's a narrow way, but I am the way and I'm the truth. Jesus is the only truth you can know today. There's not much you can trust today, is there? You certainly can't trust the news and everything going on. But just Jesus says, I am the truth. John 17:17 reminds us, Jesus said, thy way is truth. And because he's the way and the truth, he's eternal life. And just that great reminder, in case you don't comprehend or understand that, the only way you're going to go to heaven is through Jesus. That's why if you're ever talking to a false teacher, or maybe you don't even recognize, but if someone's sharing something that doesn't seem familiar, but listen, every false religion, every false cult, every false prophet, every false teacher, they're off on the doctrine of Jesus. You ask people, what do you do with Jesus? And you'll find out where they stand. And that's why he says the only way to the Father is through me. Now, what does he mean by that? He means through the blood atonement of Calvary's cross. I went to Calvary's cross to pay the price for your sin as your shepherd. I paid that great price. So the things that perhaps that perplex us sometimes and disturb us today will be clear when we get to heaven. Because one day we'll look back and say, only goodness and mercy. What a blessing. I've prayed with a number of people passing out into eternity, and it's a blessed thing when they know Jesus. I've seen and heard some remarkable things. And so he's reminding us just some great stuff here. This is a great truth, and I hope you'll get a hold of this and remember this. Under the old covenant, the sheep died for the shepherd in the Old Testament. Isn't that true? The Old Testament law, they had to find a sheep. Under the old covenant, the sheep died for the shepherd. Under the new covenant, the shepherd died for the sheep. And we shall meet our shepherd in heaven. And so, just great truths here. F.B. Meyer refers to goodness and mercy. He refers to it as goodness and loving kindness. He calls it our celestial escort. Another commentator suggests that these are God's sheepdogs, ever near his flock, ever nipping at our heels and always available. Isn't that true? Holy Spirit doesn't want us to be comfortable unless we're walking in the will of God. And that's a great place to be. Where are you this morning? Are you comfortable with where you are spiritually? That's only true if you're obeying God. It's one thing to hear the word. We can come to church 7 days a week and listen to the word, but if we have no desire to obey it, then we're not making any application to that that he has for us. And so we see, you know, one of the reasons the prodigal son, I think, came to himself and finally returned home was because of the kind of father he had. Isn't that true? I've read enough commentaries on that story of the prodigal, but you know, the key thought is the love of the Father, because the Father represents God, our Father. The Father in that represents the shepherd. Who else would go out and look down the road every day to see if my wayward son is coming back home? And then when I see him coming, I run with open arms and welcome him. You see, God never wants to let go of you. And if you're wandering around in the wilderness, so out of the will of God and walking away from God, you need to realize, boy, he's standing, waiting with welcome arms, saying, come, come unto me if you are heavy laden and burdened, because I want to give you rest. I want to give you spiritual rest. We live in a world full of unrest, do we not? There's no magnet, someone said, with a stronger pull than genuine love. That's why you and I need to work hard at loving people and drawing them into the kingdom of God. Because a lot of people are just wandering around, not knowing. And God knows how to deal with his children. He knows how to deal with you. God knows how to deal with us. He knows the sinful pride that slips into our lives. Your circumstances right now are part of his plan for you. You know that? Your circumstances right now. See, God has a plan for you, and we all walk and live within that plan. And sometimes he puts you and me through certain circumstances because he wants my testimony to reach out and show others how to live for God in times of adversity, in times that I didn't invite upon my life and my physical self. So this wonderful song is just a great truth for us. Let me just, in the few minutes we have left, just share some application with you. And just try to point out some things. One writer said, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, because David declares surely, denoting a certainty, as certain as it is comforting. Luke 18:19, no one is good except God, and God in his goodness, his love. And the Psalms are filled with these affirmations of God's love. That's why Psalms is, you ought to live in the Psalms. That was the Hebrew songbook. That's what they sang. And David, the sweet singer of Israel, he wrote many of those Psalms through the Holy Spirit. I trust in your unfailing love, Psalm 13:5. David writes, I rejoice in your love, 31:7. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you, 86:5. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever, 100:5. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever, 106. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give Psalm 118. Five times it repeats that in Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 136, and he repeats that phrase 26 times in that psalm. Goodness. Sometimes people say, well, God only mentioned that once. That's all he needed to mention in his word. His word's the inspired word of God. David often linked God's goodness and kindness to ever together. Romans 8:35-37, you might be familiar with this. Paul wrote through the Holy Spirit, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor any such thing. And so he reminds us over and over of just all that he is to us and all that he has for us. One writer said, one day it occurred to me that everything the devil does is designed for one purpose, only to draw us away from God's love. That's probably true, isn't it? The devil wants to overwhelm you with burdens. He wants to overwhelm you with different aspects of life. He wants to control your heart and your mind. But one thing we have to say about God, at least, he took our own medicine. God subjected himself to all of the persecution that one could ever endure. One writer said, whatever the game he is playing with his creation, he has kept his own rules. And that's true of God as he leads in our lives and as he reminds us of his nearness. And this is what he's trying to remind us of, that through my goodness and mercy, I am near all the days of your life. Oswald Chambers said, not consecration, but concentration. He said, one of the great battles we have in life is we just lose our concentration on the things of God. And that's why we falter, and that's why we walk away from the things of God. Because life is full of uncertainties, complexities, and complications. We have little power to change it or to mold it, but God reminds us over and over. And let's just remind ourselves also of the importance of God's word. When you think of this whole psalm, God has given His Word as our guide as we read it. As we read the Word of God, think of God as whispering into our ears. Psalm 25:14 said, He confides in those who fear Him. The word fear means to respect, to obey, to commit. John White wrote this. He said, we need minds so soaked with the content of Scripture, so imbued with biblical outlooks and principles, so sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting that we will know instinctively the upright step to take in any circumstances, small or great. Therefore, the most important use of Scripture in relation to guidance is that through the study of it, you may become acquainted with the ways and the thoughts of God. One writer by the name of Ann Johnson Flint, she said, He's helping now, this moment. Though I may not see it or hear, perhaps by a friend far distant, perhaps by a stranger near, perhaps by a spoken message, perhaps the printed word, in ways that I know and know not, I have the help of the Lord. He's keeping me now this moment, however I need it most, perhaps by a single angel, perhaps by a mighty host. Perhaps by the chain that frets me or the walls that shut me in ways that I know or know not, He keeps me from harm and sin. So as you think about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, C.S. Lewis says, Home, that's where my heart is. He says, I have come home at last. I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking for all my life. Though I never knew it till now. The reason why we loved his writings, and you think of Narnia, it sometimes looked a little like this. Revelation 7:16-17 says, Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So as you think about the conclusion of this psalm, Chuck Swindoll said, we're not talking about a place as much as a person. Notice that the 23rd Psalm begins and ends with the Lord. As we mentioned, you see the ultimate goal in David's heart was a face-to-face relationship with his Lord and Savior. Do you feel like you have a face-to-face relationship to God, or is your salvation just something nebulous and something that you fail to really walk and live and have your being total in Him? Can you truly say today, the Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house forever? Do you know Jesus today as your shepherd? Do you know Christ as the one who gave His life to die for you and me? Let's all stand for closing prayer. Let me encourage you in closing today. I hope you'll go back devotionally and read through this psalm again. I hope you'll feel led to read John 10, 1 through 18 again. And just thank God for what He's given us. And I hope this morning in your heart that you can truly say, "The Lord is my shepherd, because I know Jesus as my Savior. And because I know Jesus as my Savior, I will dwell in the house forever. Heaven is the home I'm looking forward to." If you don't know Jesus, just ask Him to come into your life and forgive you of your sins. If we can ever help you with that prayer, please let us know. If as a Christian you feel yourself wandering away from the things of God, let me encourage you to respond to His pursuit and get back into His will. Let me encourage you in closing prayer to remember Jim Moore and Judy Mueller in prayer. Jim recovering from his surgery and Judy recovering from a broken hip, I understand, or a pelvis. So let's lift these up in prayer. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. I pray that we'll be serious about our own personal Bible study, our own personal love for You. I pray that as You pursue us in our walk through this life, that we will allow You to have Your way with us and show us Your perfect will. I pray that if there be one here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, that they will open up their heart to that today. And I pray that there be some Christian here, Lord, who is struggling with their walk with You and they're just unhappy and running from You and running from life. I pray that they'll just allow the shepherd to walk them through that valley, and that we'll always be teachable. We do lift up those in our church, Lord, that are struggling in these days with various situations. We pray, continue to pray for Marjorie Cochran. We pray for Jim Moore this morning, is just You'll touch and anoint him, give him strength and give him a quick recovery. And we pray for Judy today that You'll touch her, Lord, and just lift her up and give her a quick, safe recovery. We thank You that we could be here on this Memorial Day. I pray that this weekend will be more than just picnics and food, but we'll reflect often on those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, and that we will reflect also on the One who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our spiritual freedom, our Shepherd. We ask all this in Jesus' name, in whose precious name we pray.